The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Here's the idea for the next 10 pods. We can do Paddy's little holiday review. 40 minutes of review.
Like Catherine Thomas here, no frontiers.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
We have been covering the imminent decision that's going to be made at Congress in great detail over the last week or so. We've spoken with managers and we've spoken with players and we've spoken with a bunch of people, and we'll hear later on this week from the GPA and the show as well, in favour essentially of option B. We've been looking around for people to talk to us about option A and also perhaps neither of these options going forward. And to that end, I'm delighted to say we've got Brian McAvoy, who is the Provincial Director and CEO of Ulster GAA, with us this morning. Brian, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. All good. Yes, thank you.
So listen, this is obviously a big moment for the future of Gaelic football. We've been talking about fixture review and fixture task forces essentially since the qualifiers came in. When they came in, it was like, oh, this is going to be a staging post and we'll get somewhere else. But it never really happened, and there's been very staunch debates. So can I just ask where you guys stand at the moment on the current proposals that are on the table and what kind of debates are happening with the people that you're speaking to?
Yeah, well, in relation to the ongoing debate, I don't think we have any engagement. We will have some engagement with our counties in the coming weeks. Yesterday, the official motions were circulated yesterday, even though we've had them since February. When they were on the clock for the Leavers Congress, but weren't actually taken. There has been an explanatory session which the Ardshire and the Uachtaráin and Fergal McGill have conducted with each of the four provinces and the counties in those provinces and their overseas twin partners. But that was just basically explanatory. It didn't really get into the pros and cons, the merits or demerits of each of the motions. So those debates are now happening across each county. In relation to where we stand as a provincial council, you know, we do recognise that the current system does need to be looked at, and that you know there are certain things, particularly within the provincial system, that aren't really working. But we don't feel that either of the two motions on the agenda address that. And if you're going to have change, you have to try to get change which will make things better. In both scenarios, we feel the emotions that have been presented by the task force don't do that. One of the motions is slightly better than the other one. I think motion A is the better of the two motions. I think motion B, which is the one where a lot of there have been most discussion around and some support, what I can see, I feel that it has absolutely nothing in it to offer. What it does is that it it removes the provincial championships from it divorces them from the All-Ireland series. We have seen with the Ulster Hurling Championship, the day and hour that the Ulster Hurling Championship was divorced from the All-Ireland series was the day that it died. They will become pre-season competitions effectively. The Alliance League.
Can we chat about these along the way, Brian? Because they're complex enough issues. So just on the Ulster Hurling Championship comparison, there wasn't really a long tradition of the Ulster Hurling Championship. There was no Ulster Hurling Championship in the 70s and 80s until the late 80s, until Down came along, and then Antrim would play Down and automatically qualify for an All-Ireland quarterfinal sometimes, because I remember they played Kildare when Kildare were the All-Ireland B champions, I think in 87 or 88, maybe before, around that period of time. And to compare the Ulster Hurling Championship with the Ulster Football Championship, say, it feels a little bit like comparing apples and oranges, given just how important the Ulster Football Championship has been to the Ulster counties for the best part of a century.
I take your point, but what you have to also remember is when, in 1989, the Ulster Championship was reformed, that year, actually, we saw Antrim get to an All-Ireland final. Throughout the 1990s, we had Down challenging, we had Derry challenging throughout the 90s and 90s. So the standard had improved because they knew that they were getting into an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and that actually helped the standard within the province. The day that was divorced, we returned to those 1970s days that you just talked about. So while you may say it may be comparing apples with oranges, it's not quite as simple as that. But the standard of hurling within the province improved when we had an Ulster Championship and when the winners were going on to the All-Ireland Series.
Can I just make a... Sorry, Brian, just on that. The thing about the hurling comparison is that Ulster was treated differently
in that case, to Munster and Leinster. There is nothing that will treat Ulster differently in this scenario to any of the other provinces. All four of the provinces will be treated the same.
In what respect?
In the fact that the entire system will be the same for everybody. The Ulster Championship...
I get that, but I'm just making a scenario in relation to divorcing the provincial championships from the All-Ireland series. The provincial championships themselves basically lose their value. Okay, that's the point I'm just making. And that would apply to Proposal B.
Okay.
To a lesser extent to Proposal A, because Proposal A, every team does get a chance to win their own provincial title. So it really prefers Proposal B.
And on the point about there being a devaluation of the competition, if in the real environment, if this trial was run, say, for a couple of years, I think what's going to happen is that the Gaelic football fan is going to be starved of inter-county action. So everybody goes back to their clubs, and the club scene gets the priority it deserves for a couple of months between, kind of, say, August, September, October, and then we get into the provincial club and the All-Ireland club before Christmas. And then, so essentially, it's going to be before the All-Ireland final, midsummer, all the way through to the following springtime. And then you have these round robin home and away games in the provinces for a trophy. I don't really see that it's devalued if there's actually a meaningful trophy at the end of it, and particularly in Ulster, I would have felt like, you know,
they become glorified pre-season competitions. It totally devalues. To try and suggest otherwise, you're not really living in the real world. It is devalued, full stop.
Okay, that is that the main thing for you?
That's not one thing. The other thing, you're also devaluing the leagues to a lesser extent. But we actually have quite a good league competition at the minute. People say our 4/8s are very good. If you adopt Proposal B, you're devaluing the leagues as well. You're doing away with league finals. You don't have them anymore. You're having a situation whereby a team could have a bad start to the league. De facto, they see their season is over because they cannot, particularly if they're maybe Division 2 or Division 3, certainly in Division 2, if they feel, look, we can't get to the top three after they lose the first two or three games, that becomes meaningless. They will lose some of it, but as you can see, maybe they're fighting to stay in the league. I get that. But effectively, you have games which effectively become meaningless towards the end of the league. And we've seen with the Super 8s, even in three rounds, you can have dead rubbish. In the last round, for example, two of the games, I think the Tyrone, Dublin, Cork, Roscommon game, the last series were dead rubbers. So you're devaluing the leagues. You're doing away with league finals. So what you've done, so first thing, you've ruined the provincial championships. And secondly, you've devalued the leagues. So, there's two great reasons that no one has really come out and explained those and debated about those. So there's what Proposal B does straight away. Also, in relation to, you talked about matches, under the current system, in 2019, once the provincial championships were finished, there were 39 games in qualifying and round robin and getting to all Ireland finals. Under this scenario, once the league championship system is over, you get nine. You get nine knockout championship games and you get 14 Tailteann Cup games. But that's what you got. So you were totally taking away the prime knockout games at the best time, basically during June, July, basically. You're reducing it to nine knockout games. Now, has anyone really thought this through?
I think a lot of people have thought it through, Brian, because you're actually multiplying the number of games that the teams in Division 2, 3 and 4 will get in summertime. The point about devaluing the leagues, I'm not really sure I understand, when actually if you're a team in Division 2 who loses your first three games, say, suddenly you're clinging on for dear life not to get relegated to Division 3, which actually imbues those games with even more meaning rather than less meaning. Because in the league at the moment, if you go down between Division 2 and Division 3, maybe your qualification for the Tailteann Cup might be impacted on it, but not really that much. You're still within the opportunity. If you're a Division 2 or Division 3 team, you still believe that you have the opportunity to reach a provincial final, say, and guarantee or get promoted the next season and guarantee that you'll be able to play.
Well, no, the provincial championships will be over for this stage.
Well, not
all being them having they're busy pre-season competitions. No, look, I realise people want to stay in it, but mindset, you've got to get inside it. No player goes out to lose a game, or no manager goes out to lose a game. But within the player's mindset, he already knows that I can't even play in the championship. In that respect,
but they played in the championship. The first game of the season was a championship match.
It's a league championship.
So but it's the Sam Maguire. It's the Sam Maguire. You're playing for the Sam Maguire in the first day.
It is a championship qualifier. It's a diluted form of championship.
But it isn't,
you know,
though.
It's not the really cut and thrust of knockout action, you know? So, yeah. But mindset, the player knows that I can no longer win the Ireland. If he's a Division 2 player and he's lost his first two or three games, or indeed if he's a Division 1 game after five or six rounds.
How do you feel, Brian, in the current scenario, if you lose your first two or three games? Your season is done. You lose your first game, you lose your second game, your season is done. So they lose their first two or three games, so their championship is done.
No, you've played your seven league games. You then know your championship is coming afterwards. The two of them are now rolled into one. It's a totally different situation.
Just one other thing that you mentioned there. You said that Proposal A provides everyone with the chance to win their province.
It does, yeah.
How is that possible when you are going to be moving teams from Ulster into Connacht, moving teams from Leinster into Connacht and Munster? Proposal B is the one that allows everyone the chance to win their province, not Proposal A. Just to clarify that, Brian, what you said there is inaccurate.
Yeah, it is possible because there are two provinces affected. Ulster and Leinster.
Yes.
What would happen is that on the proposal there, the Alliance Leagues continue as they are at present. Okay. And then at the end of the Alliance Leagues, the two lowest ranking teams play off. Okay. The winners of that in Ulster went to the Ulster Championship. The losers went to the Leinster, goes into the Connacht Championship. And the same, the bottom six teams in Leinster play off. The three teams that win went to the Leinster Championship. The three teams that lose two goes into the Munster Championship and one goes into the Connacht Championship.
So there are provincial
teams through that preliminary round game.
Provincial preliminary round games.
There is provincial in Limerick, in Leinster and in Ulster. There are provincial preliminary.
Proposal B is also a provincial championship for everyone to win.
Proposal B has a provincial championship which has no link to the All-Ireland Series. So the provincial championship as outlined in Proposal A is a pre-season competition.
So it's a link to the championship. But just to clarify, everybody can win their own province in Proposal B, which I thought was your point initially about that was your concern.
No.
So it's a link. It's a link between the provinces and the All-Ireland.
The very first point I made, the provincial championships to be meaningful have to have a link to the All-Ireland Series. In Proposal B, that link is taken away.
Brian, you obviously have seen proposals come and go over the years. Has there ever been a proposal that you guys thought this works, or are you actually happy enough, relatively speaking, with the status quo?
No, I think at the very outset I said that there is opportunity to change. I think actually what actually might work is the first part of Proposal B, that where you have the round robins within the provinces, not bringing anyone to another province. So within Ulster, you have a group of five and a group of four, for example. In Leinster, a group of six and a group of five. But keep those provincial championships linked to the All-Ireland Series. So actually, the answer is possibly staring us in the face. Have your round robins within your provinces, rather than moving one county from Ulster to Connacht, one county from Leinster to Connacht.
And keep it
linked to the All-Ireland Series. That's the key.
It does feel like the whole idea of moving counties from one province to another is faintly ridiculous, particularly a county who will be coming off a bad league campaign and then a defeat in a preliminary round. Because how well are they realistically going to do? Their form can't be that good.
That's the big weakness in that proposal.
That doesn't make any sense.
That was the big weakness in the proposal.
Just in terms of the future and what this might look like and how it seems like you guys feel very strongly about the importance of the provincial championship retaining the link to the...
Exactly. And there's a third element to this as well. Well, I don't want to say, because I know you had a commentator on last week who said on the task force, and his views are well gotten, well merited and genuine about it. But the third issue that hasn't really been discussed at all, now to me it's not the key issue by any means. No, the key issues are the ones I've just spoken about, is the whole finances of it. Because at the minute, you know, in 2018, for example, 2019, the last year that we had before COVID, yeah, the last normal season, shall we say, the GA Football Championships took in 18, just over 18 million, 18.2 million euro. And that's without the provincials, without the provinces. The Alliance Leagues took in 3.5 million in those. The league money actually goes back to the counties. Now, there has been no debate, to my knowledge, to say, like, what would happen in the league championship? How will that money be divvied up? Mm. Also, you know, like, I talked about the 39 games being reduced to 9 plus 14 Talchin Cups. So I am quite certain the general income for central council, for counties, and of course provincial councils, but their championships are been effectively so badly diluted, that there will be less money in the central pot. I am quite certain if these proposals go through, proposal B, the overall revenue, the GA in 2019 talked about a record profit year. They'll not be talking about it all this system if this goes through. Absolutely. So, you know, I'm surprised that there hasn't actually been any debate on the finances.
To me, it's
akin to Turkey's vote for Christmas. You know?
That's really interesting, Brian, because I think that is the key point, and we've been trying to address it as much as we can. Tony McEntee brought it up. Actually, I'm very sure that these proposals have been costed and that projections have been run by the various finance committees and various financial officers in Croke Park. So it'll be very interesting to see if those...
Well, if you're very sure, you have more information than I have.
Well, of course they have.
One shred of evidence...
Of course they run them. Every business runs, it's budgeting season. So every business runs budgets. I'm interested...
Well, I think if every business runs them, I think it would be nice if they showed them to the counties before the debate.
Have you guys done a cost-benefit analysis in terms of the finances? Because it's interesting that's something
I have seen no cost-benefit analysis. But what I do know is you're reducing 39 games to 9.
But you're not really...
In terms of the knockout series.
You're not really though, Brian. It's interesting that's the figure. Under this system, there will be more games for counties guaranteed over the course of the year because there'll be there will be round robin provincial games which they'll be able to charge into, and there will be a guarantee of 3 or 4 home championship matches. You're calling it league, but it is the competition to win the Sam Maguire. Their championship matches, you know, and that's actually more games.
There will not be more games. We will have no pre-season competitions anymore. There will be no McKenna Cups or Burn Cups. So those round-robin provincial championship games already happened in the pre-seasons. That pre-season is now replaced by a provincial championship. You have every county has league games at the minute. Those league games become league championship games. And then 10 lucky counties, and then in Division 3 and 4 Winter Talchin Cup, 10 lucky counties get to play knockout.
16
10 get to play for the Sam Maguire Cup.
And everybody else gets
to play. The Division 3, there's 15 play for the Talchin Cup. Yeah. But every county currently gets to play in a knockout competition. So there's actually going to be less games because you've lost your pre-seasons. You have the Alliance Leagues. Every county gets an Alliance League at the minute. Plus, they say at least 2 championship games.
Is it your contention, Brian, that there will be smaller attendances? Sorry, is it your contention that there will be smaller attendances at matches in summertime? So let's say Mayo play let's say Monaghan play Mayo. Is there going to be more people in Clonus if that game is played in May or June than there would be if that game is played in February or March?
What I would say to you is, if Monaghan play Mayo in a knockout game, there will be more people at it.
Well, round five of the league could essentially be a knockout
correct
game.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, if people think that round 4 of the league championship would attract the same attendance as the same 2 teams meeting in a preliminary quarter final or an All-Ireland quarter final, that is not going to happen. People are not going.
It doesn't have to attend. That's not like with like. What we're saying is that more people will go to these games than will go to the league matches, and actually more people will go to these games than will go to the league matches and the championship matches combined. I actually genuinely believe there is a financial projection which increases sponsorship, which increases your TV rights, which increases your attendance. Specifically, the comparison.
Round five
of the All Ireland Championship.
Round one of the Alliance League, Armagh play Dublin, right? Mm-hmm. It will get a decent attendance, okay? Round one of the League Championship, Armagh play Dublin, it might get some more, okay? But remember, there's 7 rounds of those games. So it will not come anywhere near comparing what Armagh and Dublin would if they were meeting in a knockout championship.
But
so,
hang on. Sorry, Armagh and Dublin could still meet in the knockout championship. So round one, they meet. Let's just go through that. So round one, they meet Division One, Sam Maguire Championship, and the game is in Armagh. Big attendance, massive hype, build up for the whole week. It's McGeaney versus Desi. It's Nafina versus Nafina, right? That's that. And so I think that's close to a sellout. Right, I do, but here's the thing: they will. Let me finish, please. Because the point you made was that they won't get the same as they would in a knockout game. They can still meet in a knockout game in an All Ireland quarter final or an All Ireland semi final. So it's that game, is the game that you should be comparing like with like. And what we're saying is that that league game will get more than the league game would now because it's far more meaningful.
It will get more, but not to the same extent that when you're actually reducing the number of knockout games. From 39-9, that's the issue, because when Armagh and Dublin meet in that, I'm saying it at a league game, there may be 6,000. At the league championship game, you make it next to 1,000. That's all you get because people are not going to spend money week after week on the seven.
They will.
Remember,
they will. The experience the of people all around the world is that they want to go to matches.
Let me finish my point here. Remember, at the minute you can get a season ticket for €120, get to a Division One game. We don't know what's going to happen in a league championship game, but it certainly won't be as cheap as €120 anyway. The point I'm making is, at the end of all those league championships, you are down to 9 games. Previously, you had 39. Okay, you had the Super 8s in there, so we'll take it away, whatever. But what I'm saying is, there is less chance, and you've reduced the number of games in that knockout. So Armagh might meet Dublin again. There's 20 other games. Not the games that would have previously taken place that are gone. Don't happen anymore. And don't tell me that the Italian Cup is good, but it will not be a trending, attract massive figures. But yeah, except those games will be happening, but not on the same level. But this hasn't been. You said that the homework has been done. I have seen no evidence of that, and I would like to see it, because I think from looking at those basic facts, the figures don't add up.
Brian, you're... I can see where you're coming from here, and the knockout element seems to be a central part of your argument. But what's interesting is that we actually just kind of don't know the answer to that. And the only suggestion that we've got of that in recent years is maybe the Super 8s. And just like speaking of the last Super 8s, Mayo versus Kerry in Killarney got a crowd of up to 40,000 people, I think. That game was not knockout. That game was between two teams of a similar standard in a ground that wasn't Croke Park. It was a little bit untraditional, to put it that way, between Mayo and Kerry. People came down in their droves to that game. It was not a knockout game. It was the first game of the group stages. The other part of your argument seems to be focused on preserving the McKenna Cup, which I understand as somebody involved in Ulster GAA. It's got a much bigger tradition than the McGrath Cup, for example, and I can see that. But that's not entirely knockout all the way either. Like, you look at the Ulster Championship games, it'll go from an 8-game championship to a 19-game championship, the Ulster Championship. Like, you talk about turkeys voting for Christmas here. Surely, as somebody involved in Ulster GAA, you can see why the inflation of 11 games would actually be good for you and everybody in your province.
A couple of good points there. First of all, the very, very outset, you said, we don't know the answer. That was in relation to the finances. Yet, counties are being asked to make a vote on the most far-ranging GAA football structural change ever.
We don't know the answer is who will show up to the non-knockout games.
That's the turkeys voting for Christmas bit. They don't know the answer. You've got that 100% spot on.
But I'm saying that we did get an insight into Super 8s as to what happens when two teams of a similar standard go toe-to-toe in a game that is not knockout.
Look, Mayo are a great travelling people, and that's a one-off game. I've been at Super 8 games. You talked about the Mayo Kerry game. How many were people from the Super? Were at the Super 8 game between Cork and Roscommon?
Was that the same weekend? Was that a dead rubber? That was at the very end. Both teams were knocked out at that point.
Exactly, it was a dead rubber.
Yeah,
and you are going to get lots of dead rubbers.
You're really not. You're going to get very few dead rubbers.
There was no relegation.
You had mentioned was the McKenna Cup. The McKenna Cup's a great competition. Now, I'm not lovely. If we save it, we save it, and I would hate to see it go. But what I'm saying is, you talked about the Ulster Championship at the minute. In 2019, I think we took in $1.5 million from the Ulster Championship. In 2019, we took in 165,000 from the McKenna Cup. And what I'm saying is, this league-tied championship attendance, you know, the Ulster Championship then being replaced as a standalone competition with no link to the All-Ireland Series, the financial figures will be closer to the 165 than they will be to the 1.5 million. I've no doubt about that.
Can I ask a question, Brian? If the finance question was answered and there was a guarantee said that any losses that we make over the 3-year trial period will be made up centrally, if that was answered, would you guys be willing to experiment for 3 years to see what happened? If all the financial questions were answered, would you be willing to forgo the other concerns?
It's a good question, but what I'm telling you from what the facts that I'm looking at, it, the GAA coffers centrally will take a hammering if this goes through.
I don't see how that...
They will not be able to make it up centrally.
Honestly,
they will take a massive hit.
But so one aspect of this that hasn't really been part of the conversation is that the current rights deal goes up to the end of officially the league campaign next year. But I've no doubt that they'd be able to talk to the various broadcasters and say, well, actually, what's going to happen is you're going to have way more games and we're going to buy you out of that deal and we're going to start our new deal next. I've no doubt that the broadcasters would be interested in injecting...
But you're not going to have way more games.
Well, you absolutely will have.
You're going to have way more games
that are interesting. All of a sudden, the games in Division Three.
I think the Allianz League is very interesting as it is.
But no one's going to televise the games in Division Three and Division Four in the Allianz League. Whereas all of a sudden, those games are now meaningful. They're in high summer. There's going to be huge local interest. It's going to be packed stadiums. Whatever you might say, I think that all of a sudden the game. Between two Division Three teams where a place in an All-Ireland last 16 is on the line is actually going to generate interest in crowds and it's going to generate media coverage. I think the value of those rights goes up exponentially because the value of the games are must-see for fans and supporters of that team. So I think that like that's a part of the calculation where you can literally go to your broadcast partners and say we're increasing the cost of those rights because... those games are now more meaningful deeper into the season.
Well, there's only so many games you can televise over a weekend. You have basically...
Well, actually, there isn't any more because of GAA Go. No, you can televise everything.
Yeah, but you have that with GAA Go. Yeah, we've seen that with GAA Go. So, but there is nothing to suggest that any more Division 3, 4 championship games are going to be on television. Than what happens currently. So no, there will not be more games for broadcasters.
I think there will.
Broadcasters' games will stay the same. Now, you may be able to see watch games in Division 3 and 4 through GAA Go, yeah, but you can do that already. So there will not be, you know, this is a fallacy.
I think there's going to be bigger sponsorship opportunities as well.
You're throwing out.
Well,
but, you know, you don't know that this can't happen because
here's the thing:
so many games on television.
Well, you actually can't. You can bring more broadcasters on. You could definitely have BBC Ulster could show games, RTE could show games, Virgin could show games, and Sky could show games.
Yeah. We have an arrangement with BBC Ulster.
Yeah,
but of course you do raise an interesting bit that actually was the current commercial arrangements that you say carry through to the end of the Allianz League. Now, if this proposed, I'm sure it could be overcome. I don't think that this is a big obstacle. But it does mean a renegotiation with the teams that broadcast the Allianz League games.
Yeah, but everybody can do that.
We can get around that. But I don't think for one second we're going to give, you're going to have, this is going to be the panacea. Not at all. I think we can see those games now on GAA Go if you want to watch them, and that will, I have no doubt, that will continue.
The games aren't as good, though.
Post-COVID, yeah.
Like, you can get Mayo versus Leitrim on GAA Go now. Whereas you'd get Leitrim against somebody of a similar standard, like that's the point. The television product, it will be better, and as a result of that, the amount of television coverage will be better. You need to have a product to televise that's good.
Yeah, but look, I mean, you're talking about similar standards, and this is part of the issue too. That you don't just because you have teams playing in the leagues, you get games are mostly closer in the leagues, than some of the provincial championship games. But you do see someone, for example, Westmeath and Laois. Met in the Leinster Championship last year. They were both in Division 2 and they're both in Division 3 this year. I think Westmeath won by 16 or 17 points or something, So you do get one-sided games and you will continue to get one-sided games no matter what system you use. You don't think for one second that because we're getting into 4-8s or whatever we're doing or we're getting into, the league-based championship that there won't be games that are end up with teams getting beaten. That's the way it is. You've got the 25th-ranked team in the country are suddenly going to play in the last 10 of the All-Ireland Championship. Depends who the draw, but it could be a difficult day for them.
Yeah, and I guess talking to managers in Division 3 and Division 4 teams, what they want is to keep their squads together in summertime when, you know, the evenings are long and there's an opportunity for them to play deep into the summer. The same amount of time and training sessions that the Dubs get and Kerry get. And, I can see how that would allow the team to progress and how it would give them the sense that they are progressing. Brian, I can see totally that your convictions are very firmly held, and that I've no doubt there are loads of county board chairmen who are listening to what you're saying about the money and thinking, well, how am I going to fund the extra training sessions? How am I going to fund the county deep into the summertime? So that it seems like the central concern is the finances of this whole thing. And
no, that's one. No, the finances, look, I mean, my convictions, yes, they're firmly held. They're also evidence-based. And, you know, the three things that we come out of this, you dilute the provincial championships without a link to the All-Ireland series. You've effectively made them a pre-season competition. You are diluting the Alliance Leagues, there's no question about it, which is a very successful competition by playing the two as one, you know, the league championship as one. And, well, I'm convinced that there will be less revenue if option B is carried. I haven't seen any evidence to suggest otherwise. Maybe it does exist, but if it did exist, you think it would be out before now, wouldn't you?
Well, it's hard to know, because it's hard to know who's actually sponsoring any of these and who wants an element of change to come through. As it stands, what happens if A fails and B fails, we'll go back to essentially potentially year three of the Super 8 experiment. This is a question, right? What will happen if option A and B fail? Because it's not clear to me. Some people are saying we'll go back to year three of the Super 8 experiment, and then somebody else has made the point that actually there won't be room in the calendar anymore because of the split season for that to happen. So what's your instinct about what happens at the end of a Congress with A and B both?
My own hunch on this is that it will go, ideally it would have went to year three of the Super 8s. The difficulty is we now have a split season. So when the Super 8s were brought in, you had an All-Ireland final in September. Now you have an All-Ireland final in July. So I don't think there's going to be room in the calendar, particularly because, remember, in 2022, we still have a carryover at a club level from 2021 in terms of club championships. So basically, what will happen is you will go back to a backdoor system and a Talchin Cup, but there will not be space in the calendar for three rounds of quarterfinals, i.e. Super 8s. So it'll be straight quarterfinal. But what I would also like to see happen was be if both motions fail, that someone like CCC or someone, you know, some committee, look at the merits and the arguments were put forward for both debates and try to get something that maybe can get common ground to move forward. Because I think, as I said at the very outset, I don't think anyone is saying the current system is perfect. In fact, it's far from it.
And is there any merit there in experimenting for a three-year period?
Yeah. That could be taken at Congress next year, you know, with a view to possibly coming in 2023.
Right. And sorry, one last question on this. Is there any merit in experimenting with Proposal B for a couple of seasons to see how it works?
No.
Why not?
Because I've just explained.
But what if you're wrong about the finances and actually it increases the financial income?
Finances are not the key thing. The other two things are much more important in my mind: the devaluation and total desolation of the provincial championships, and the dilution of the Alliance Leagues.
Because you could really argue that it's making the leagues much more important, like that. So I can definitely debate you on that one. But it's the first one.
Well,
it's kind
well,
of
you're, a, doing away with league, you're doing away with league finals for a start.
I mean, you could bring them back. You could bring them back. You could. You could easily. You could bring them back. You know. You could definitely experiment with that. Well, you could.
Be honest.
Bring them back and have a reward for the team that wins. It's extra money for holiday fund or something. Like
okay, Dublin and Kerry finished top, first and second in Division One.
Well, you wouldn't have it for Division 1. It's like, there was no league final this year.
No, I'll give you a scenario. Dublin and Kerry, or any two counties, whatever. Dublin and Kerry finished top of Division 1. At that stage, they're already in an All-Ireland quarter final. They know damn rightly they're going to be meeting in 3-4 weeks' time.
So you don't play in Division 1, but Division 3 and 4. I mean, there was no league final this year, and the world continued on its merry little access.
Yeah, there was no league final this year because they knew they were going to be meeting. As it turned out, they didn't meet. Tyrone had other ideas, and Milo, for that matter. But, you know, so no, the league final will be a shadow game. It will mean nothing to it.
Okay, so the league final is more important than...
No. And I'm just saying it devalues the league. And that's just one aspect of it.
Okay.
There'll be no finals. But
the fundamental thing is the separating the Ulster, the provincial championships from the All-Ireland when it comes down to it. Okay. And like, ultimately, that's going to be an emotional decision for people to make at Congress, whether or not they believe the importance of the provincial championships and the dilution of that. Because, you know, as somebody who lives in Leinster, like, ultimately watching Dublin win 15 out of 16, 25 out of 26, which is what's going to happen over the next while, it kind of feels like progress in the rest of, certainly where our part of the country and potentially in Munster as well, is therefore always going to be hamstrung by the reliance of the provincial championships giving us All-Ireland something or other, quarterfinals, semifinals, last 16, whatever proposal is put forward.
But you're penalising Dublin, you're penalising Kerry, whatever. It's up to the other counties to try to get up to a standard. You know, I've been seeing some great Leinster finals over the years. I've been in some of them. So we can get back. I think you're just looking at something at a place in time. And obviously, you know, we've had 130 years of provincial championships and they haven't always been perfect, far from it. But they're an added, you know, they are an added incentive and they do bring a lot of character and a lot of colour and a lot of great days to it. And, you know, okay, maybe I'm passionate because I'm from Ulster, because we tend to be more. But, you know, anything, you cannot take that away. This will be a bit like taking the Munster Hurling Championship away from Munster. You just lose so much. You lose 130 years of history for something that is inferior. And make no doubt about it, it is inferior, this proposal.
I totally agree with your last point there, Brian, about the value of these provincial...
just to a point
about the value of these provincial championships. And this is important. I mean, like, the provincial championships are going to be kept. The Ulster Championship, as I say, is going to be the thing that everybody watches in the springtime. Because let's face it, nobody's going to watch the other three provinces. It is, like the Munster Hurling Championship, the best provincial championship in its own sport. People will have their eyeballs on it. It will still exist. And do you not think that there will still be a value in winning this championship? Like, if whoever wins the Ulster Championship is probably going to be... I'd just like to see this happen for the 3 years. As Gerard put to you, would you not like to just see this Ulster Championship exist as the curtain raiser to the All-Ireland Football Championship, the thing that kicks off our season, just for 3 years to see how it goes, and then in 3 years' time value whether or not it's lost its value and assess it on that front?
Well, first of all, I don't need 3 years. I know what the answer is now. Secondly, it isn't going to be played in the spring. It's going to start in January, February time. And it is, you know, so that argument doesn't wash at all. No, sorry.
And do you not think that... So is the main thing when you win an Ulster Championship the qualification to the All-Ireland Championship? Is that the main thing that Tyrone took away from winning their Ulster Championship this year?
Absolutely.
Right. So the Ulster Championship is already devalued then, if you don't really care about winning the trophy and all you care about is qualifying for the All-Ireland Championship.
No, it's not, because that is a passport to the All-Ireland Series. And it gets you, you know, this year, obviously, you had to win it to get to the All-Ireland Series. But there is a reward, you know, where you know, you would have been straight into the Super 8s or an All-Ireland quarterfinal before that. So there is a reward. There is a reward, yeah. And the best way to go through is to get through the front door. So it's very important, very valuable.
Tyrone obviously won a couple of back doors.
You talk to the people of Cavan, who won an Ulster title last year.
Yeah.
What does it mean to them?
Absolutely loads. Yeah. And you'd like to think that it would mean absolutely loads in this new format as well.
Absolutely. It's going to mean more to them than a Touch and Cup medal, I can tell you that.
But the thing about that...
The Touch and Cup has its place.
Sorry, Brian. Like, the thing about that is that winning that trophy meant everything to Cavan. Getting the opportunity to play Dublin is not what will stay long in the memory. But that's what you're suggesting. You're suggesting that the passport to play Dublin is what matters more to Cavan people than winning an Ulster Championship.
It basically meant that they got to represent their province. Okay? You win the Ulster Championship under proposal B, you go nowhere. You stay where you are.
Except you're Ulster Champions. You win the trophy and you get the medal, I suppose. Look, I think we've reached the point where I think there's full understanding, at least, of what the issues are. And in fairness, Brian, not everybody's coming out to tell us what they think. Mm. So fair play to you for doing that. And I think you're right. It would be great to see the finances and the projections of what proposal A, proposal B, status quo would actually mean for the provinces, for the counties, because, you know, I agree with you. It is one of the most seismic changes that might ever happen. And even if it only comes in for 3 years, or if nothing comes in, see, if nothing comes in, I think everybody's going to be a bit depressed, because we're staring down the barrel of, you know, Leitrim up against Mayo. We're staring down the barrel of Longford against Dublin. We're staring down the barrel of Waterford against Kerry, or even Clare against Kerry in the football championship. And for three quarters of the country, it's like, the grim provincial championships. We have to kind of grind our way through to get to a point where there's an All-Ireland quarterfinal, where there's some good football matches played by teams other than Ulster teams against each other who are of a similar standard. So you can see why we're grimmed out by the prospect of the status quo, I hope.
Oh, I'm glad the debate's taken place. I think it's a healthy debate, yeah. And I'm glad to put the alternative argument, yeah. Well, thank you for that.
No, good stuff. Thanks a million, Brian. Cheers.
All right, Nance. Thank you.
That's Brian McAvoy, the Provincial Director and CEO of Ulster GAA.